Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Kabi Tafoyi. A teenage boy killed. Anti-government demonstrators setting up roadblocks and clashing with members of the regime forces. Opposition groups have called for a general strike. Amnesty International to have called for the release of what it calls prisoners of conscience. Such is the state of affairs in Bahrain, as people there are marking the second anniversary of the revolution. In this debate, we'll discuss how close or how far are Bahrainis in achieving the goals of the revolution in what has been called by the Bahrain Center of Human Rights 2 years of deaths and detentions.
Bahrain. The regime's crackdown rages on as usual since the popular uprising began in the small Persian Gulf island. The regime forces have shot and killed another protester as Bahraini people mark the second anniversary of their revolution against the centuries-old rule of the Al-Khalifa dynasty. Teenage boy Hussein Al-Jaziri died from a shot in the stomach near the capital Manama. Bahraini troops have also attacked angry demonstrators in several areas across the country. The protesters poured into the streets to slam the killing of Al-Jaziri at the hands of the regime forces. During the latest protests, Bahraini forces also arrested three journalists. The revolution in Bahrain has been severely suppressed since it began on February the 14th, 2011. Many now are wondering why the Bahraini uprising has not managed to achieve its goals, like the people in countries like Tunisia and Egypt did. Some blame this on Saudi intervention in Bahrain, with the aim of crushing the protests against its ally, the Hamad regime. Others are pointing to the finger at Bahrain's Western allies, including the US, saying that they have turned a blind eye to the Bahraini uprising to keep the Manama regime in power. Meanwhile, the regime continues its efforts to portray the popular uprising in the monarchy as a sectarian movement, with the Shia Muslims pitted against the Sunnis. This is while the revolution there lacks any characteristics of a sectarian one. The opposition also consists of Sunni Muslims, and the uprising has been described as the most peaceful movement in the whole region. Many Bahrainis are also complaining that the international bodies have failed to properly defend their rights. Amnesty International has just condemned the Bahraini regime's crackdown on dissidents. Amnesty says Manama cannot keep holding people simply because it cannot take criticism. But Bahraini people consider such criticisms from rights organizations as too little too late in the face of the repressive regime that has killed scores of Bahraini citizens.
Well, let me introduce our guest for this edition of the debate. We have from London, Rodney Shakespeare, the chairman of the Committee Against Torture in Bahrain, who joins us. From Washington, Lawrence Korb, he's from the Center for American Progress. And we have from Beirut, Ibrahim Moussaoui, he's a political commentator. Gentlemen, welcome. Rodney Shakespeare, let me first start with you. We have lots of reports coming out. First, Human Rights Watch, Bahrain failing to release political prisoners or hold accountable high officials responsible for torture, and of course, escalating its campaign to silence human rights defenders. This doesn't match the claims by the ruling regime there of carrying out promised reforms. Why have they not done that?
The Killer Khalifa regime is a feudal barbarism. It's well known that they don't even have any table manners. They grab for the food and they pick their noses. They are peculiarly spiteful. They are backed by the most anti-democratic forces in the world. I mean, my own country and the USA, all hand in glove to maintain, ultimately to maintain Zionism and its expansion in Palestine. They have just dared to use another dum-dum bullet on young boy Ali Jaziri. His stomach was blown apart. These are the illegal, and at the start of the revolution, dum-dum bullets were used, and the nurses were tortured to make them say they'd put their hands into wounds and pulled them apart so that the regime had an explanation for these horrific illegal wounds. I have one other thing to say. Negotiations are going on because there are some quisling figures in the Al-Faq movement. We demand that if there's to be any negotiations, they start on a good faith basis. And that means the release of all political prisoners, the payment of compensation to all political prisoners, the payment of compensation to those who've been tortured and killed, and of course, the reinstatement of those who've lost their jobs. Anything else is a betrayal of the Sunni and Shia people of Bahrain.
That's right. And talk about reforms or talks. The talks, Ibrahim Moussaoui, I'd like to ask you, is the regime there sincere? We understand that even this latest round of talks, there were no official representation, only ministers. And many are saying that's no way to have talks or dialogue.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the question. Would you please rephrase it again,
That the regime there only has their ministers involved in the talks, not official representation of the governments. And they're saying that's going to lead to failure.
Well, I mean, I don't know whether it should be possible for the Bahraini people, whether they should give an opportunity for any kind of negotiations. My understanding, the dialogue ways should always be open. This is the suggestion of everyone who wants to see a very soon outcome for the crisis there. But I believe that the Bahrainis have suffered enough, and the authorities have to take a very straightforward, honest, crystal clear step in order to show that it is ready to go into the negotiations. It's ready to not to give concessions, but at least to tell the people that it is honest in the step towards negotiations. When you talk about people who are not official, who are not giving the enough authority in order to go into the negotiations, this is going to make a big problem, actually, and I believe this is not going to lead anywhere.
Well, Lawrence Korb, let's look at a report by a reputable U.S. agency, this one being by the Carnegie Endowment for Peace, who has called on the Pentagon to actually rethink and relocate the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet there, saying that it's been there since 1995, and this actually is harming their lack of action on the Bahraini cause and the revolution. Do you think that that's a possibility? And what are your thoughts 2 years on in terms of how the U.S. has conducted itself regarding Bahrain?
Now, I think the Carnegie report is right, is spot on, as we would say, that the United States needs to use that leverage, which is the main leverage that it has with the Bahraini government, to get them to engage in meaningful negotiations with the opposition groups. And I think they have to, as the Carnegie report says, begin to put deadlines. If you do not do this by date this, then, you know, we will begin to take certain actions, because that's the main leverage that we have there. Because this, the trouble, if you will, or the divisions between the opposition and the government is really not as a result of the United States policy. It's basically as a result of what we call the Arab Spring, that the people in Bahrain wanting the same type of changes that we saw in Egypt and Tunisia, and unfortunately, we're not seeing in Syria.
Roddy Shakespeare, let's look at the role that Saudi Arabia plays. And some are saying Bahrain is taking their orders from Saudi Arabia. Your views?
The Saudis are in occupation. They are a vicious totalitarian, and it's not really a theocracy. They dishonor the name of religion. But the Saudis are supported by the Americans and by the British. And the whole thing is an anti-democratic structure to suppress the peoples of the Persian Gulf and at the same time to support an expanding racist Israel. The whole thing has no future in the long-range interests of America and Britain in this regime. The crux of the matter is the USA should get out of the Persian Gulf and stop supporting these outdated feudal barbarisms. The USA's long-term interest is to deal with modern democratic Islamic nations. So please let no one tell me about the USA's base. Its base should not be there. It should get out. And they should do what they say. They should support democracy. But the truth is, the USA and the UK are profoundly scared of democracy in the Middle East, and that is because the USA and the UK are racist in exactly the same way as Israel is racist. They think that the Arab populations of the Persian Gulf and the Middle East are not capable of a true democracy. Well, they am. And I want to go back to the Quislings in the Al-Wefaq movement in Bahrain. There's a handful of them who think that they can go forward and call a sort of a compromise and get power for themselves. Well, they should be ashamed of themselves. Release the leaders. The true leaders are inside the prison at this moment. And when they're released and when compensation is paid and when they're in fact people are reinstated in their jobs, then there can be a good faith negotiation, right, and not before.
Well, Ibrahim Mousavi, I'd like to ask you about the role that Saudi Arabia is playing here and what are they afraid of, since they were the ones who sent in those troops onto Bahraini soil. Some called it an invasion. What are they afraid of regarding the revolution there?
When we talk about the role of Saudi Arabia, we're talking about the same problem, actually. They have a problem in the Qatif also, in their own Saudi proper. And I believe the kind of intervention that they made against the will of the Bahrainis, against the international law, it's been viewed by some of the Bahrainis as a certain kind of occupation. And I believe this is not a constructive role that they are playing there. This is a very negative role. This is not good for Saudi Arabia on the long term. They think that they are trying to stop this revolution. They are going to stop this uprising. But nobody can strip the people from their rights when they have the will, when they have the resolve, when they have the self-confidence, when they have the trust, and most importantly, when they have the faith that this is their right and they want it. What they are asking for, what the Bahrainis really want, they are asking for reforms on the political system, they are asking for reform in the social system. And here I want to join my voice to my colleague, to one of the gentleman here, I believe Mr. Rodney Shakespeare, when he talked about that they should be released, they should be compensated, when he said that the United Kingdom and the United States of America are afraid of democracy because it's going to bring people who really want real independence and real freedom and real sovereignty, who will not accept the presence of foreign military bases in their own countries, who want to have their own decisions free from any outside intervention. Yes, they are afraid of democracy. Yes, they want hypocrisy. Yes, they don't want the people to come to their rights. Otherwise, just tell me, and I believe everybody would agree with this, this is the most peaceful uprising that we've ever seen in the whole Arab world. And I believe we know, as many people know, when they have a quarrel over a football game in one of the streets in London or in the United States, you would have more people, more casualties, I mean, clashes among the people than what we have in Bahrain with the people who have been under persecution for a long time. This is one of the most, this is the genuine democracy that we can talk about. When people commit themselves to their own rights, when they sacrifice and they don't resort into violent means. The problem is that the authorities is turning a deaf eye to their demands. The problem is that the international community, the United States and all of those Western countries that always boast and preach democracy, while they are exercising hypocrisy, they are turning a blind eye to what's happening. So between the deaf ear and the blind eye, the people continue to pay. But we are very sure that whether the people in the Gulf, whether the Saudis, whether others like it or not, the demands of the people are going to be met. This is a real, genuine, democratic revolution of the people of the country asking to have a country, to have a state. They cannot live under authority that is not representative, that is not illegal, that does not come and does not spring from the will and the resolve of its own people.
Very well. Let's take a little a break here and listen to some of the views that our readers have posted on our Facebook page regarding the topic, Bahrain's second anniversary. Let's take a listen.
On Press TV's Facebook page, we pose this question. What has undermined the Bahraini revolution from achieving its goals? And we've got so many comments, let's take a look at some of them now. From Jafeth Asakome, the Bahraini revolution is a fight won already. From Shitu Hamza, the Americans are there in Bahrain just to protect the king. And from Jacqueline Smart, what Bahrainis want is an elected cabinet and parliament. What's wrong with that?
Well, let's get a reaction now. Rodney Shakespeare, what do you think of some of those comments there?
Well, they are democratic comments. They're going to the crux of the matter, is whether or not the USA, the UK, is democratic, and it's not. I mean, when are the UK going to wake up that it is increasingly hated? And so is the USA. It is hated throughout the Middle East. When it will go into their stupid heads that they've sold out their long-term interests? I mean, this is a time of huge change. And now it's become apparent that the USA, supporting a Zionist Israel, is intent on defying the tides of history. There's been questions in the USA around why there's suddenly no longer any opposition to Senator Chuck Hagel. And I'll tell you, it was probably because Obama has completely decided with Chuck Hagel to sell out in favor of Zionism. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth of the matter. Zionism now pervades in Bahrain and in Saudi Arabia.
Well, let's see here, Lawrence Korp. Can you please tell us what has prevented Bahrainis from achieving the revolution there?
Well, I think you've got a couple of issues. First of all, the opposition is not united. Some want to negotiate with the regime and to leave the monarchy in place and increase the power of the parliament. Others want the monarchy completely removed. So that's, you've got a division among the opposition. As you know, they had talks started last Sunday with some of the opposition groups. There was a commission set up that implemented a number of reforms. So I think that's basic. What happens? What is the end game here? What do the people really want? What do the majority of the people really want? And it's very interesting to listen to some of my colleagues. President Obama has been criticized for not standing up for President Mubarak, for forcing him out of office, for working with the UK and other nations to get rid of Gaddafi. So the United States is being hit from both sides. And this whole thing about Israel has nothing to do with this. Israel's a democratic country. They just had an open election where a lot of the people were upset at some of the policies of the current prime minister.
Well, Ibrahim Mousavi, we have our guests there talking about the United States, but Ibrahim Mousavi, the United States has pushed for reforms, but at the same time, it's supporting Saudi Arabia because, well, I can name a few reasons. Maybe you can better than me. Largest buyer of arms from Saudi Arabia, not to mention, of course, the investment that Saudi makes in the United States. The role the United States has played, your analysis on that.
Well, of course. I mean, when we talk about the Gulf countries, we know very well the kind of relation,
Go ahead.
I mean, we know very well the kind of relation that exists between the United States of America and the Gulf countries, the Arab Gulf countries. Those Arab countries in the Gulf, actually in the Persian Gulf, everywhere, they are supporters and they are like dictated by the United States of America. You're talking here about a completely different project that they always go into its orbit, and they are part of this project. They are very well known for supporting the United States of America. And if we recall the history, we had many of the officials in the Gulf who said that they care very much for the welfare of the Americans and of America, and they have these kind of military deals, military shipments, weapons that they buy in billions of dollars, and this makes great fortunes for those who are going to buy and for those who are going to take the commission, let alone that we have the fuel oil. Fuel oil is very important, the petroleum, for the continuation of the American machine and the American industries, and they take it with the preferable prices. They have a favorable position in taking the good prices, and we know that Saudi Arabia exercises certain pressure on the OPEC countries in order to keep the level of the prices in a certain level. So you're talking about multifaceted benefits that the United States take. That's why they would turn their blind eye to all the exercises and to all kind of repression that are being exercised by the Bahrainis and by many other countries in the Arab countries in the Gulf. So here you're talking about mutual relation. They give them the support, they keep them in their places, in their positions, while they take the benefit, the military, the weapon deals, and the petroleum, and all these complex business that we can talk about in the United States and in the consumerist, capitalist economy that we have in the Western countries.
Rodney Shakespeare, and of course the UK recently came out in terms of the spyware of which they're monitoring a company that sold spyware to the regime in Bahrain, monitor the activists, where they're going, etc. What is the UK's reasoning for supporting Bahrain?
There seems to be an automaton in the British Foreign Office who keeps going saying, British interests, British interests, British interests. And nobody actually turns around to that automaton and says, shut up. You are not actually promoting long-term interests. The British Foreign Office seems to be controlled by a tiny group of people. The mass of people in this country say that we should be supporting a democracy and then making normal agreements and trading with them in the normal way. It's within the Foreign Office and it's within the Zionist control of the Foreign Office that the problem lies. And in respect of Lawrence Kolb just now, he's very clearly supporting a racist, expanding Israel. And that's the sort of interrelation in this particular problem. It's Israel and it's America controlled by Israel. It's the UK controlled by Israel. And they're not understanding that Israel is a paranoid, expanding entity. It is racist and that the UK and the USA should get out of the Persian Gulf.
Lawrence Kolb, do you have a response?
Well, first of all, let me go back to the Saudi thing. The Saudis and us don't have the same policy with Syria. The Saudis are aiding the Syrian rebels. We're not. We're being criticized by the Saudis and other people for not intervening militarily in Syria as we did in Libya. And in terms of, you know, you were talking about the Chuck Hagel nomination. Part of the problem that he's had, he has not yet been confirmed, is because people are concerned about his stand on Israel. The fact that President Obama has appointed him, I think, says that he is taking a stand on Israel that says we don't support every policy of every single Israeli government. So I think we have to look at, yes, the Saudis and us, sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree, but we're becoming less and less dependent on oil from the Middle East. The United States basically is importing less oil from the Middle East than we have at any time in the last 15 years. Other countries, particularly the Europeans, do, but we're not nearly as dependent as we once were in that part of the world.
Ibrahim Moussaoui, the sectarian issue has been blamed on Saudi Arabia in terms of what is going on, not to mention the regime there in Bahrain. Why are they pushing that agenda?
Well, we know this is a deeply entrenched issue in the region, actually. The people in the region have never witnessed this kind of rising tension between the sects. And then when you have a certain system who feels that it's weak and it needs all kinds of weapons in order to strengthen its position, then they might resort to different kinds of things. Here, when you talk about certain regimes that try to sow the seeds of discord between the different confessions and in the sectarian agenda, then you know very well that they had they have got all of their weapons out of their pockets, so now they resort to this kind of thing. I believe the Gulf countries and many Arab countries, when they go into this kind of weapon in order to use, in order to divide, conquer, and rule, in order to make people go against each other, then this tells you very clearly how much of weakness they have got and how much of fear they have got from their own people.
Very well, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much. Let me thank our guests from London, Rodney Shakespeare, chairman of the Committee Against Torture in Bahrain. We had from Washington, Lawrence Kolb, he's from the Center for American Progress, and you were just listening to Ibrahim Moussaoui, he's a political commentator there from Beirut. Thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. Just send us any questions or comments. We do appreciate them. Newsroom@pstv.ir is our email address. From me, Kovat Halfway, and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.